except for a tendency to eat combs.
Eat combs, said Vlad, coiling the hair around his finger.
Yes, he can see what you're thinking.
Vlad looked puzzled again, like someone trying to make out some faint noise.
You can resist, can't you? He said. I was watching you when Lackey was playing the piano and losing. Do you have any vampire blood in you?
What? No.
It could be arranged.
He grinned. It was the sort of grin that Agnes supposed was called infectious, but then so was measles. It filled her immediate future. Something was pouring over her like a pink fluffy cloud, saying,
It's all right. Everything is fine. This is exactly right.
Look at Mrs. Ogg there, said Vlad, grinning like a pumpkin, ain't she? And she is apparently one of the more powerful witches in the mountains. It's almost distressing, don't you think?
Tell him you know he can read minds, Perdita commanded.
And again, the puzzled, quizzical look.
You can... Agnes began.
No, not exactly.
Just people, said Vlad. One learns, one picks things up.
He flung himself down on a sofa, one leg over the arm, and stared thoughtfully at her.
Things will be changing, Agnes Knit, he said. My father is right. Why lurk in dark castles? Why be ashamed? We're vampires, or rather, vampires. Father's a bit keen on the new spelling. He says it indicates a clean break with a stupid and superstitious past. In any case, it's not our fault. We were born vampires.
I thought you became vampires by being bitten.
Oh, dear me, no. Oh, we can turn people into vampires. It's an easy technique. But what would be the point? When you eat... Now, what is it you eat? Oh, yes, chocolate. You don't want to turn it into another Agnes Knit, do you? Less chocolate to go round.
Oh, he sighed.
Oh, dear. Superstition everywhere we turn. Isn't it true that we've been here at least 10 minutes and your neck is quite free of anything except a small amount of soap you didn't wash off?
Agnes's hand flew to her throat.
We notice these things, said Vlad, and now we're here to notice them. Oh, Father is powerful in his way, and quite an advanced thinker, but I don't think even he is aware of the, possibilities. I can't tell you how good it is to be out of that place, Miss Knit. The werewolves, oh, dear, the werewolves. Marvellous people, it goes without saying. And, of course, the Baron has a certain rough style. But really, give them a good deer hunt, a warm spot in front of the fire, and a nice big bone, and the rest of the world can go hang. We've done our best, we really have. No one has done more than Father to bring our part of the country into the century of the fruit bat.
It's nearly over, Agnes began.
Perhaps that's why he's so keen, said Vlad. The place is just full of, well, remnants. I mean, centaurs, really. They've got no business surviving. They're out of place. And frankly, all the lower races are just as bad. The trolls are stupid, the dwarfs are devious, the pixies are evil, and the gnomes stick in your teeth.
Time they were gone, driven out. We have great hopes of Lancre.
He looked around disdainfully.
After some... redecoration.
Agnes looked back at Nanny and her sons. They were listening quite contentedly to the worst music since Sean Ogg's bagpipes had been dropped down the stairs.
And you're taking our country, she said, just like that.
Vlad gave her another smile, stood up and walked towards her.
Oh, yes. Bloodlessly. Well, metaphorically. You really are quite remarkable, Miss Knit. The Uberworld girls are so sheep-like, but you're concealing something from me. Everything I feel tells me you're quite under my power, and yet you're not.
He chuckled.
This is delightful.
Agnes felt her mind unravelling. The pink fog was blowing through her head. And looming out of it, deadly and mostly concealed, was the iceberg of Perdita. As Agnes withdrew into the pinkness, she felt the tingle spread down her arms and legs.